Good morning. So, I want us to use our imaginations to begin with. Okay, so, just for a moment, I want you to imagine. Can you hear me? Yeah? Okay, so just for a moment, I want you to imagine that you are a messenger, like an old school messenger, like this one up here. And you arrive at work ready to start your day. You're given everything you need. You're given a uniform. You're given instructions for the task ahead. You're given a messenger bag, kind of like that one probably. And inside of that bag, you carry a very important message. And that message has a recipient that you need to deliver the message to. So you're all prepared. You have your uniform. You have your bag. You have your message. And you're ready to go, and you are sent on your way. Since you are a messenger and you carry the message, are you going to make sure you deliver that message? Or would you choose to forgo delivering the message and cause the recipient to never receive that message that was intended for them? If you turn to Romans 10, 13 through 15, okay, and it says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, 'How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news.'" So it says at the very beginning, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him if they don't believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard of him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them unless they are sent? God has a message that he wants to share with the world. And if you are a Christian, if you have chosen to follow Jesus, you carry that message. We are God's messengers. Growing up, I believed in a God. And my thoughts were, unless you were a murderer or something equally as crazy, you would go to heaven. I thought that one day when I die, I would maybe sit on fluffy white clouds somewhere in the sky. I don't know. I believed this or thought this because I didn't know anything else. I didn't know about the relationship and the communion I could have with God. I didn't know who Jesus was or what a crucial part he plays in our salvation. I didn't know about the hope and the love that could be found by asking Jesus into my heart. I didn't know that Jesus died for me. I didn't know because no one told me. If you turn to Isaiah 6, and this is Isaiah speaking. "It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory.' Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, 'It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, 'See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven.' Then I heard the Lord asking, 'Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am. Send me.'" You see, Isaiah has a revelation of the holiness of God, and immediately he realizes he's unclean. He realizes he's full of sin, and he says, "I'm doomed. I'm doomed. It's all over." But if we go back to last Sunday when Joseph spoke, he reminded us that if God is involved, it's definitely not over. And just like he did for Isaiah, when we confess and we bring our sin to him, when we bring our unworthiness to him, He will remove our guilt, he will forgive our sins, and he will ready us for his call. When Isaiah confessed his sin, immediately God removed his guilt, and he forgave him. And then he simply asked, "Whom shall I send as a messenger to my people? Who will go for me?" And Isaiah, he was motivated by his revelation and experience with God, and he said, "Here I am, send me." You have probably heard those five words so many times, but have you actually said those words and put them into action? You see, God will never force us to serve him, but he does continually offer us the choice. Isaiah had a revelation of God, and his experience caused him to respond to God's call. And we're just like Isaiah. We are motivated by our experiences with God, so we must ensure that we are continually praying for a deeper revelation of him. God asked, "Whom shall I send as a messenger to my people?" He was asking Isaiah to be his messenger and to deliver the truth to his people. And basically, if you read on in chapter 6, it would be to a people who wouldn't respond. It would be to a people who had deaf ears, hardened hearts. They wouldn't hear it. And that's really hard to go out and speak to people who are not going to respond to you or reject you. But you know what? Isaiah was still willing to go. He was still willing to go. I said earlier that growing up, I didn't know about Jesus, and I couldn't really remember anyone telling me about him. And then when I was writing this sermon, God reminded me of a time when I was probably in my late 20s that a woman who I knew through mutual friends, she invited me to church. And I did go. I only went once, and I politely told her it wasn't for me. And then around 5 years later, I gave my life to Jesus. So I may not have been saved that day when she asked me to go to church, but I do believe she planted the seed. And I do believe that God caused it to grow. And I didn't even know it. I'm sure I heard a message that day, and I probably forgot all about it. But what matters was that the seed was planted. So even if you sharing your faith seems to fall on deaf ears, don't let that stop you sharing with others. It's not our responsibility to change their mind, but it is our responsibility to bring the message. God will do the rest. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 8 says, "I planted the seed in your hearts," this is Paul, "and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work." So you see, it doesn't matter whether you plant the seed or you water it. It is God who causes it to take root and makes it grow. We deliver the message and God does the rest. And even if you don't see the fruit, know that you are doing what God has called you to do. So I'm going to go back a couple of years. I remember a couple of years ago, Joseph and I used to be on fire. Like, we had a passion to go out into the streets, probably of Lake and Heath, and tell others about Jesus. We reached out to our neighbors a lot in particular. We would invite them to church. If we baked a cake, we would take them a piece. I remember one time Joseph even took like a huge chocolate Easter egg to our neighbors, like a single airman who lived next to us. But then we noticed they all began to avoid us. They stopped answering their door, and if we would see them, they would put their heads down and they wouldn't wave at us, and we ended up feeling really deflated. So we just stopped reaching out to them. And they moved, and we have all new neighbors now on either side, so it's like our house and then on either side are our neighbors. And we were so wounded by our failed attempts to reach out to our old neighbors that, you know, we didn't even introduce ourselves to our new neighbors. That's really bad. And then a few weeks ago at church, you know, after we sing the first song and then we go around and we, like, say hi to everyone. Well, Joseph came up to me and he said very quietly, "Our neighbors are here." So either side, he's like, "Both of them are here." And I was like, oh. And instead of thinking, "Oh, praise God, that's amazing," all I could think was, "Our neighbors are here and we didn't invite them." That's all I could think. And It's a reminder to me and to everyone to not become discouraged when our attempts to reach out seem to fail. We need to keep on reaching out to people. So, if you are a believer, know that you carry God's message, and he calls you to deliver that message. What is God's message? It's a message of truth. It's a message of salvation and eternal life. It's a message of love, a message of hope, a message of freedom, and it cannot be found anywhere in this world. That is why it is imperative that we do not keep this message to ourselves. We have something the world needs, and they may not even know. Most of them probably don't know. They think they have everything they need. But what we need most in this world is Jesus. So we have what they need. The world needs to hear the truth about Jesus, and we carry that truth inside of us. It's not meant to lie dormant. It's meant to be delivered. So God commands us to go and make disciples of all the nations. And it's hard. It's really hard. It's a hard thing to do. For me, it's easier to show the love of Christ without having to actually tell people about him. So that's my next question. Have you ever heard of show and tell? Yeah. Anyone? Yeah? So I used to do it as a child, and I think my children did it growing up. So show and tell is where you bring an item to school, and it's usually like a favorite toy or something like that. And the whole class probably sits in a circle, and every child has their item. And they get to show that item to their class. And then they get to tell about that item. And as I was writing this, I thought that's exactly the same as us as believers. Like, we show Jesus to the world by being loving, by being kind, by being caring and forgiving. And those things are great. It's how we're called to live. When we love the unlovable, when we forgive the unforgivable, when we're kind to the not so kind, we are showing the love of Jesus. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." But there's more to this. Psalm 105:1 says, "Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done." And Matthew 28:19 says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." So if a child did show and tell and only showed their favorite item and failed to tell about it, no one would know why they brought that item in. They might like the item, they might be curious about it, but they wouldn't know anything about it because the child kept that information to themselves. We need to remember not to just show Jesus, but to tell about him too. To tell the world what he has done and what is available to them. We need to tell the truth. We need to show and tell Jesus. Yes. If you have chosen to follow Jesus, you carry his message, and you are called to share it with others. Isaiah had a revelation of God, which gave him a heart to see the need of a lost and a dying people. It was a revelation that propelled him to take that step towards God's call, a call that required him to go out in the world to bring a message of truth, that Jesus is the only way, a message of love, that he died on the cross because he didn't want to be separated from us, a message of hope, that through him we have the promise of eternal life, and a message of freedom, that we do not have to be bound by fear or death. We know this message, but there are so many others that do not. Billy Graham once said, "Remember that God does not call the equipped, he equips the called. And as Christians, we are called to share what Christ has done." Some of Christ's last word on earth were, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Sharing our faith isn't just a suggestion, it's a command, and God is with us when we obey. So you may not feel like you're equipped, you may not feel like you're worthy, but it is God who does the equipping. It reminds me of Gideon. When God was calling him to lead 300 men, only 300 against an entire army. And he questions God. He says to God, "God, I'm not strong enough. I can't do this." And God's response was simply, "Go in the strength you have. Am I not sending you? And if I am sending you, surely I will be with you." You see, like Gideon, God is with us. He does the strengthening and he does the equipping. We just need to be willing. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." God has work for each of us, but he will never force us. He He is simply looking for the one willing to respond to his call, the one willing to share their faith and use what he has given them to bring hope and love to a broken heart. And I wasn't going to share this, but I just was thinking about it. when I was asked to write the sermon, I began to think about my sermon so I could prepare it. And if any of you know me, and also when I've spoken before, I haven't kept it a secret that I get very nervous when I speak in front of groups of people. So I like to be prepared. I like to have everything written out, and I like to go over it 100 times. and I wrote the sermon, and I had it done a few days before, and then I read it out to my husband. I was like, can I just go over it with you? And I read it out to him. And as I was reading it, I was like, this isn't it. This isn't right. And I had to write another sermon. And I only had a couple of days before I was due to speak. And I'm not lying, like, when I say this. I've never had to rewrite a sermon before. I've heard people say, oh, I had to rewrite my sermon at the last minute. I'm like, ooh, how do you do that? You know? But I literally had to do that. And I kind of knew. I was ignoring God's voice. I kind of heard him saying, this is what I want you to speak about. But because I felt so, like, unequipped and unworthy, because I struggle with this myself, I really didn't want to speak about it. I wanted to speak about something else. But I do believe that God has given me this message to share with all of us, for me, for all of us today, to remind us that he's called us to be his messengers, and he's called us to go out into the world and tell those that do not know about him. So let's be like Isaiah, and let's take that step and say, here I am, send me, and see what God does. Amen.
And thank you so much, Claire. That was an amazing word from God for us today. Have you heard from God? Do you feel challenged and encouraged? Do you love the way that God will often do those two things together? I feel so encouraged by the challenge you've just given me, God. But do you know something? We need to act on this. This is such a powerful word that we can forget. We just go about our day and we can lose sight of what it's about. And it's about making disciples. We've been commanded to go, but we've been equipped, amen? If you obey the call of God, he'll meet you there. Everything you need, he'll give you. He'll give you the words, and you won't know where they come from. Well, they come from heaven. He'll just give you the grace to do what he has called you to do, and lives will be changed. In fact, you have changed more lives than you realize. Do you know that? Those seeds that you've sown, God will honor the seed. He'll water it. He'll send other people their way. They're going to come through to the Lord. And you may never know till heaven. But that's not up to us. The results are in God's hands. Our job, as Claire said, is to go and preach Jesus. Show and tell. I love that illustration, didn't you? Show and tell. That's what it's about. Don't just show them. Tell them what it is that you're showing them. We're going to worship. We're going to respond to the word of God. Let's stand together. We're going to take up our morning.